This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com. Ron, you want to open us in prayer?
We're only thankful tonight to gather together to study your word. Your word in this house has the authority of everything, our lives, our destination. Everything is based on your word. Everything we think and say and do, every venture, Lord, is according to your word. And we thank you, Lord, for this evening that we can study it and pull out the understanding from it according to the Holy Ghost, Lord, that you will help us to see and understand. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 Okay. And we're in
Romans chapter 11.
Could be Romans chapter 11.
Or it could be chapter 12.
So we're going to be at verse 1.
Yes. I believe we're in chapter 12.
No, 11.
11.
And I thought we started in chapter 10, verse 11 last week.
Yeah, now we're starting to work in chapter 11, verse 1 this week.
We only did that. We only did. I got so many circles.
Yeah. Yep, that's why I'm actually keeping I keep a spreadsheet now.
I like that, how you do that.
How wide is it? That's a spreadsheet?
Yep. It doesn't spread very far. It's only got three columns. It's got this Bible study, your Bible study, and Promise Keeper's Bible study.
I said, you might have to get a bigger spreadsheet than this one.
That's right. Cool. Okay, so, Ron, why don't you start? The reason why I'm going to skip reading, I don't normally start reading, but I've got an Amplified Bible, and I want to make sure that we hear your version of it first, and then we'll go back and talk about it, because some of this stuff is really, the way this is worded is different than how yours is going to be, okay?
I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture said of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace.
Okay, so there's something we need to talk about. Pete, you did a study just of late on the Romans appointing people to the leadership of the priesthood. Okay?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that for just a couple of minutes?
Well, and the ones that tried Jesus was appointed by Rome.
Okay.
And they don't come out of Levite tribe. Some of the priests were appointed, then they were expelled after like a year, then they found favor with Rome again, and they got reappointed, the high priest.
Yeah.
And it was just ungodly. And it was Satan already set up inside there. And there's a scripture that says that Satan will set up his seat in the temple
yeah.
of the Most High here, you know. And he did. and Rome put the big eagle on the outside.
Yeah. You're talking about the...
Just like Hitler had, but yeah. That was under Rome's appointed priesthood.
Yeah. Okay, so the when Rome started appointing the priesthood was when Herod the Great came and was... See, Herod the Great was appointed over Israel as governor by Rome, but Herod the Great was... What happened with Herod the Great was that he fell in the cahoots with the Romans and went to Rome and told them that, look, I'm the perfect guy to take over control of Israel in this whole area because I'm just Jewish enough to get along with the Jews and I'm Roman enough to get along with the Romans and I will take the Roman side in everything and make sure that the Romans are happy, right, by keeping peace among the Jews. So that's where Herod the Great got his foothold in taking over Israel. Okay? Right. Now, that was the last time that the world, basically, had control over the Jewish church. Okay? Now, over the Levites and all, right? Okay, now, but here we see Elijah talking about the same basic situation before that ever happened. Right? So Elijah is going before God pleading for Israel. Right? So even before the Romans took over, here you see Elijah recognizing that even before the Romans took over control of the Jewish church, that there were issues in the church.
Okay. Well, there always was, because it kept going after other gods.
Other gods and all kinds of other stuff, okay? So so what Elijah's complaining about here is exactly the same thing that was going on when Pete was talking about the Romans controlling the church. So what does that mean? That the Jewish church was really run by the world, right?
Right.
Okay, so let's go back and let me read it out of this Bible. This is Amplified, and we're going to start in Romans 11, and we're going to start talking in verse 1, okay? And I ask then, has God totally rejected and disowned his people? Of course not. Why? I myself am an Israelite, this is Paul talking, a descendant of Abraham, and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Right? So Paul's giving his credentials to be able to talk about the Jewish church. Okay, in verse 2, and it says, no, God has not rejected and disowned his people, whose destiny he had marked out and appointed and foreknew from the beginning. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleaded with God against Israel? In verse 3, it says, Lord, we have... killed our prophets. Oh, they have killed our prophets. They have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. Right? So this whole thing has been going on for a while. And sort of the Romans taking over the control of the Jewish church, that was sort of the final insult. Right? That was sort of the insult on top of the insult.
That's what Elijah was saying. Was 1,000 years before, 900 years before Christ.
Yeah.
And Malachi, right. When it ended, when, I guess that's what they call them, the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
That was 400 years before Christ.
Yep.
And so
there's a long history of problems.
Yeah.
It is my point.
I was thinking of trying to get the right wording of it is that. The problems was so severe many times when of Israel would leave Jehovah God and come back to him and then go away from him, and then when he need help, beg him and cry and all. And every time, like the last time, you know, they would go 400 years of bondage before Moses.
Yep.
Well, now that between Malachi and here, they're 400 years in bondage because it's 400 years of ungodly teaching.
Yeah.
And just like John the Baptist day was good, Nicodemus was good.
Yep.
You know, they were on, Nicodemus was on the Sanhedrin council.
That's right.
So he knew Paul well, knew what was going on with the Paul situation because Paul was on the Sanhedrin council, and they see what was going on inside of the temple, and they knew they couldn't do nothing about it. But they said, "We can't do nothing about it. But we can still serve God. We can still keep the law in our hearts."
So the bottom line is that even though there were serious problems in the Jewish church, there were still some. There was a remnant,
right,
that still walked the walk. They were serious with God.
Correct. But it gave Satan such an opportunity, especially when Rome got involved in it, and that was before Christ, gave him such an opportunity, Satan such an opportunity, he just took full advantage of it.
Yep.
And he set his seat up in the temple.
Yep.
Yeah, if it's ungodly, it's Satan, period.
That's it.
There's not a God and then a somebody else. It's Satan or it's godly.
Yeah.
And so that's what Jesus come to break down. And he said, this is a spiritual thing, but because it's so bad, it's going to turn to a physical thing between Rome and them.
Yeah.
And Rome's going to just take it down because Rome can't see it's spiritual. Rome can only see it's a screwed up government and it can cause them problems.
Yeah.
And Rome says, after taking over the world, so we got to wipe that out.
That's right.
So what Satan meant for harm, God used the enemy of God to destroy the enemy of God to bring it back. And then when Rome did this in 68 to 70 AD, depending on whose counter is used, then 2 years later, Rome got destroyed by the same thing.
Yeah. You know, the Goths and all came in and kicked their butts.
Because he destroyed some of God's people.
Yeah.
And all the way back to where David said, when that guy went and bragged on killing Saul, and he did, he said, "You shouldn't touch God's anointing," and killed him.
Yep.
Hung his hide on the wall. Said, "Ha ha." You know, and see, he lied to get credentials. The Jews was lying to get credentials.
Yep.
And you know, Satan, he's just a big liar to get credentials.
Yep.
He said, "You're all your father the devil."
That's right.
He said, "He's a liar from the beginning. You're just like him."
That's it.
So all that because of the lies, like the priests that went through and said, "Look, I got enough Jew in me, control the Jews. I got enough Rome in me to be favored, to find favor with Rome, and I always favor Rome over the Jews."
Yeah.
And he said, "Good. Well, your governor will make priesthood it.
Yeah.
You appoint them."
That's right. So it just for clarity's sake, Herod the Great was the guy who killed the babies at the time of Jesus' birth.
Like 2 years and under,
2 years old and under. That's right. And then Herod the Great's son, Herod, was the guy who was there at the execution of Christ.
Right.
Participated in that whole event. Okay.
The son
did.
Yeah.
That's right. Herod the Great had died, and the son was given governorship. And his name was also Herod.
Right.
Okay.
Herod the second, or maybe the 15th.
Yeah. It actually, if I remember correctly, he had a son whose name was Herod.
Yeah. So I said the second Herod. Herod had so many kids by so many other people.
Yeah,
probably.
That's right.
He could have been Herod the 15th.
Yeah, you don't know. So I just wanted to clarify that because this sounded like this was something new, and it was a serious problem. What'd you say, 1,000 years ago, or a thousand years
when
before
Elijah
Christ?
Was talking about it.
Yeah,
that's when Elijah was talking about between 900 and 1,000 years.
That's right.
Before, and then and when you see Malachi, and Malachi is 300 and some years before.
Yeah, about 400 years. That's when
Christ.
At the time of Malachi,
397 years
Yeah.
So depending if you're on the common era calendar or the other, it's 400 years.
Yeah, round numbers, 400 years. And
that was a 400 year bondage then.
That's right.
And when it was in Egypt, that was a 400 year bondage then.
That's right. And that's when
they just couldn't learn.
That's right. And that's when God removed the spirit from the Ark of the Covenant. He no longer abode in the Ark of the Covenant, right?
They did.
The last 400 years.
Well, I don't know if that's right or not. The reason I'm saying that, because there are still good people in there.
There were still good
people.
But
that was at the time when they would take the priest and tie a rope around his foot.
Yeah, that's what.
And because if he wasn't godly, when he went back there and the Holy of Holies, boom, he just dropped in, just like that. And they had that rope there, and they would pull him out by the heel of the rope, because if anybody else went back there.
I thought that was before.
They would die too.
I thought that was during.
That was before Malachi, I think. If I remember right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because at the time of Malachi, was the last 400 years, and the Spirit of God did not rest on the people of Israel at that time. He withdrew a spirit from them.
Well, he rested on those that was righteous, like John the Baptist and like Nicodemus. And there was a lot of people. He never left his people.
That's right. The inside people, like,
but
like he talks about here,
out of
the 7,000. That's right.
Worship, and they started creating their own ways.
That's right. Okay. So, all right. So that was Malachi, Elijah talking, and then verse 3, and it says, "And Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altar, and alone I am left. And they seek my life." Now this is Paul talking now, okay?
No.
No, oh, I'm sorry. No, this is Elijah talking. I'm sorry. You're right. It is Elijah. Yes, that's right. And then verse 4, it says, "But what is God's reply to him? I have kept myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And so too, at the present time, there is a remnant, a small believing minority, selected, chosen by grace, by God's unmerited favor and graciousness." So, even at that time, God, there were still people who walked the walk, talked the talk, right? And they were selected, right, by God, because they would do it. They would do it. So this is an indication, this is an example of when you're serious with God, God appreciates that, and God will watch over you. These are people that God understands. They will really do it, and God will watch over and protect them.
And these are Jews that accepted Christ.
That's right.
At
the final days. Yeah,
well, this is 60 A.D. when Paul's writing this here.
Yes.
In Roman.
That's right.
So this is 27 years after Christ is gone, and Paul's saying, "Hey, I got saved. I'm a Jew. And there's a remnant of Jews that's getting saved. And guess what? Remnant of Jews that's getting saved, they're the ones going to get out of town."
That's right.
Because the Holy Ghost is going to say, "Move." And Christ said, when you see them. So when Christ preached that message, he said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, you're going to believe that Peter, John, James, and all the rest of them.
They had the wagons loaded.
Oh, yeah. Because they already sold. They made out great because they already sold everything and made it common so they could all eat. And the churches from outside that wasn't going to get hurt, like Paul's writing to the Romans here, all those church Jews there, they're already out of town.
That's right.
They're already set up. They're already protected. The Jews only, the Jews is going to get hurt in Jerusalem.
That's it.
And not going to get hurt on the way to those that was fighting the Jews when they was fighting coming down. Josephus said he fought his way all the way back till they run him down to Jerusalem. And he kept falling through the cracks.
Yeah.
And then he witnessed. But I personally think, from Josephus' history, that God protected him to get the historical things.
Somebody had to write the information down.
Yeah. And Josephus wanted to see it to be godly, too. He didn't want to see it to get turned over to Satan.
That's right.
But he knew what Rome was doing, and he knew what the priesthood was going on. So when Paul said, all these Jews is getting saved now. They're just getting in under the blanket.
Yeah.
They're just like the thief down on the cross. You're just getting in, dude.
Yep. Hey, that's all right. Getting in is better than not getting
You're
in.
You're not a kid.
Okay.
Oh, Pete, yeah.
Can you start in 6 through 10, please?
Yeah. And if by grace, then is it no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be a works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. That sounds a little double there. Mm-hmm. What then? Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. I got it. And the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And so this goes all the way back to David.
Yeah. Yep. So there's just a whole line here. This is many years that all of this stuff has creeped into
just
the church.
Back and, yep.
You know,
it gets stronger every time they repent, and then every time they backslide, they go away farther.
That's right. So, and you can sort of relate that to the current church.
Oh, yes.
Unless you're serious with God, you don't have anything substantial to stand on.
You can sit right next to real good people in churches, businessmen and women, and rich and poor people. But except the Spirit of the Lord tells you, this person is not saved.
Yeah.
You just think, hey, I said, oh, that people goes to that church where I go, or that people, I see them going in the church there. And you, unless the Lord puts it on your heart, they're good people. They're going to church, doing what's right, but you know what the church assembly preaches, just come on in. They don't say you get baptized, you're a member of the church.
And that's it. You know, and they can live like anything outside the church.
Yep, just bring your collection.
And it's the church itself, too.
That's
so this is mainly talking about the church itself. How they're teaching people what their standards are, right? And whether they're compromising their standards to please the world. And that's what this is really all about.
Right.
Is
the huckster preachers.
The huckster preachers and the nonsense, right? This is, oh, well, you know, we can't say this about that because somebody will be offended. And we can't say this about that because somebody else will be offended. And so on. So you're making excuses for everybody. And you're really not giving them the information that they need to walk the walk. You know, to really live it the way it's supposed to be lived. Because the standards of God are certainly different than the standards of the world.
Yeah.
Right? And God expects you to live His standards, not the world's standards.
Well, they have a tendency to take the ugliness out of sin.
That's right.
And sin is really ugly.
That's right.
And they paint a pretty picture.
Yeah. And when you see Jesus died, how he died, that gives you an idea how ugly sin was.
That's right. That's very good. That's right. So let's go back. Let's start at verse 6 again. But if it is by grace, his unmerited favor and graciousness, it is no longer conditioned on works or anything man has done. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace, it would be meaningless. What then shall we conclude? Israel failed to obtain what it sought, God's favor by obedience to the law.
Right.
See, so obedience to the law, didn't merit them anything because the law had been replaced by grace.
But back then, they were liars. They weren't obedient to the law.
That's right.
And the law made it. The law was to show them where they sinned. But, excuse me, the law kind of gave them a credit card with no interest for 1 year. When they went to that Passover, they rolled their sins ahead for another year. So that they took it as, oh, this is free for another year. Oh, I said, I'm going to Passover, you know, next March or April anyway. I'm going back to Passover. I'm going back, and they made that Passover Easter holiday, which was a pagan holiday.
Yeah.
And they just blew herself out of water.
Yeah. They're doing themselves more harm than they're doing themselves good.
Easter is a pagan holiday.
Yeah.
And Easter wasn't made because of Christ, but because of the resurrection. He destroyed that. That's with right. that. And I think it was the third week of March.
Yeah.
And so
Christ replaced a pagan holiday with this celebration.
Yeah, and he also replaced the temple with us. He said, no, you're not. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Don't you know that he's the chief cornerstone? Yeah, Christ.
Okay, so in verse 7 it says, and what then shall we conclude? Israel failed to obtain what it sought, God's favor in obedience to the law. Only the elect, those chosen few, obtained it, while the rest of them became callous, indifferent, blinded, hardened,
yep.
and made insensible to it. So they were so hard-hearted and all, they wouldn't do what God told them to do.
No.
Verse 8, as it is written, God gave them a spirit, an attitude of a stupor, eyes that should not see, and ears that should not hear. That has continued down to this very day. Wow. So God has just said, hey, basically you're on your own, you know. In verse 9, it says, and David said, let their table, their feast, their banqueting become a snare and a trap, a pitfall and a just retribution, rebounding like a boomerang upon them.
Exactly. Come right back to them. You read what you saw.
There you go.
Boomerang.
So everything they've done, they knew was wrong, came snapping right back on top of them.
You can't throw a boomerang away.
That's right. Yeah. Keeps coming back. Better duck.
Right. So if you're going to throw it, you want to have something pretty on it. You're going to get it back.
Verse 10. Let their eyes be darkened, dimmed, so that they cannot see, and make them bend their back, stooping beneath their burden forever.
Payday.
Payday.
Yep.
You know. But who did that to them?
Them.
They did it to themselves.
And if it happens today, we're responsible. Who does it to us? Us self.
Well,
it says no man can pluck you out of the hand of God, because no man puts you in the hand of God.
That's right.
You did. God did. And so only you can take yourself out of the hand of God, and that's what they did.
That's right.
They had every law. All they had to do was open the little book, so did I sin? They could see it all on one page. Oh yeah, I sinned. I gotta correct that.
Yep. So it's only one of us.
In ten sentences, the Ten Commandments. Yep. 10 sentences. Did I sin? Oh, let me read. Oh yeah, ooh, I gotta correct that.
Yep. So who's directly responsible for us?
Us.
We're responsible for ourselves. So what somebody else does, I don't care how bad it is, we're still responsible for us. They're responsible for them. Right? So no matter how bad somebody does, we have an obligation to do what God tells us to do.
That's right.
Now, is that always easy?
No.
No, it's not easy. Sometimes people do stuff to you that's really, really bad and really hurts you, right? But see, your responsibility is to get to heaven, and to get to heaven by following what Christ tells you to do,
right?
So it's on you whether you're going to put aside your anger, your strife, or whatever. See, it's up to you to put it aside so that you do what God tells you to do, not what the flesh tells you to do.
Harness that flesh.
That's right.
Because this isn't easy.
That's right. You have to control it.
Yep.
It's not easy to do, but you want to get to heaven?
Yep.
You want to get there in good condition, not just squeak in under the door?
Yep.
Right? When you get there, if
you don't have a bank account up there, you go there.
There ain't much there.
I don't think so, because it says store your treasures up in heaven.
That's right.
Why would you store your treasures up in heaven? You know, it's like retirement here.
Yeah.
And of course, I told people for years, I said, when you're young, I said, you take good care of your money when you're young. When you're old, your money take good care of you.
That's right.
Well, Jesus said, store your treasures up in heaven, where neither thief, robber, mold, corruption, nothing can touch it.
That's right.
It's there for you, and that's witnessing to other people and obeying the Holy Ghost, you know.
Doing good things for other people.
Worshiping the Lord and all that. And you're storing it up there. Well, if you don't do none of that, what do you got up there waiting for you? I'm going to tell you, it's still going to be a good place to go.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're going to go there, why don't you go there?
Go first class.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you go on vacation and you can't afford to go to the French Riviera to enjoy yourself, save your money so when you go to Rehoboth, you can get all the pizza and all the French fries you want. And, hey, you know, go on the beach as much. Have a good time there.
That's right.
Save up so you can have a good time there. Yeah, when Pee Wee and I went to Disney World and across the country, we went to Disney World and it cost us about $100 for 5 hamburgers.
Yeah.
And I said, don't worry about it. We don't have to come back. Don't worry about it. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
I know that's way too much. I know they ripped us off.
Yeah.
But don't come down here and let them ruin your vacation.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself and then pick someplace else. Because I said, no, I can get twice as much for this. Well, why not go to heaven where you're going to get everything? Because if you go to hell, you get zilt. And you're still going to
be tortured for everything else. That's right.
For eternity. In heaven, it's going to be pleasurable. But I personally think that you're going to make heaven, what's going to be pleasurable is going to be what you made heaven before you got there.
Yeah.
You know, storing up your treasures.
Yeah.
You know, if you tell somebody that comes to see you and get ready and say, real glad you guys come. We love you guys and all. And some of them say, because I do it. And I do it purposely to let them know and feel it. And I get reactions that say, same here. Or us too. You know, they don't know how to say we love you in the Lord. They don't know how to say that.
Yep.
But when Jesus was here, every time he healed somebody, he said, I love you.
Yep.
I love you that much. When he died on the cross and by his stripes, he took those stripes, he said, I love you. I love you.
Yep.
So when people does something nice for them, tell us that, I really love you. That's really nice. I really appreciate that. Or I really appreciate you. You're good people.
Yep.
We need to do that.
Yep. People need to understand
it's
also
a good witness.
Yep, absolutely. It absolutely is. And people also need to understand that you're not laying up treasures in heaven to get to heaven.
Right.
No, because you can't work your way
that's
into heaven.
Works.
Right.
So this is not works we're talking about. What we're talking about here is stuff that you want to do for
right.
God out of your heart because you know that it will please God.
Right.
So out of your heart you're doing stuff just because you want to do it.
And it's easy.
It's going to be easy stuff.
It's the more you do it, the easier it is.
That's right.
And it becomes a norm.
That's
yeah.
right.
You know, when you're saying about works, because you can't work your way to heaven.
That's right.
But because of the love of God in your heart.
That's right.
You go do something for somebody, you're doing works by faith then.
That's right.
Because you're doing it for somebody in the love of the Lord.
That's it.
All the Jewish people, they was doing things by work to get you to come to the temple so they could get your money. They was doing nothing in there for the Lord. The system wasn't.
Yeah.
Even though there's people inside there that believed in God. You know, Nicodemus, he was a teacher of the Jews, teacher of the law and all. So he knew it well. That's why he said, hey, should we give him a chance to defend himself? They said, oh, you're one of them, huh? You're one of his.
You're right.
So wait a minute. All I said is this is our law. They wouldn't even go by their own law. So
make up rules as they go.
Yeah. But the people that was in Christ, even though there's people all around you that's not in Christ, and I'm going to say like that at work,
yeah.
for example, you still have to be the light. Nicodemus chose to be the light. John the Baptist chose to be the light with all the wicked around him. Whatever the guy's name was that took his brother's wife and daughter and all, and
that's Harry also.
Why was it?
Wasn't Harry also?
No.
You know, the guy that took John the Baptist's head?
Yeah.
I thought that was Harry.
Oh, no, right on the tip of my tongue, and I can't think of it.
Go like it.
Yeah,
I'll try the French, I can't use it.
Let me have my tongue here a little.
But anyway, even John the Baptist says, you're an adulterer. You're living with your brother's wife. You're living
in
adultery.
Yeah.
And then you're mad. So, and that guy really didn't want to kill John.
Yeah,
what he wanted was her daughter.
That's right.
Because when her daughter danced, and that's all sexual activity.
Yeah.
When the daughter danced before him, he said, I'll give you anything you want up to half my kingdom. He never offered a mother nothing except you come live with me and you'll have the easy rest of your life.
Yeah.
He did all that for her.
That's right.
So
it shows you where his heart was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was in lust.
Yeah.
And so when he did that for her, it might cause John the Baptist's head, but instantly John the Baptist was in paradise.
Yep.
Instant.
Yep.
And so he won. When he took Paul's head, instantly he was in heaven. When Jesus died, you know, he finished up his work in the spiritual world, and bang, it's done forever.
Yep.
It's just a piece of a second when they cut your head off, or when they shoot you, or when they
whatever
you do to you. But then you step in eternity. And a lot of people, because they don't know the goodness and the love of God, and also because they don't prepare for their family as they ought to, as a husband or spouse, to, if anything happens to me, you're taken care of and all that, they're scared to die.
Yep.
They're scared. When you die, this world, you're done. You're going back to dust.
Yep.
In regards to if it's an accident or if you're put to death or whatever it is. It's done. That's just a short period. If you live 60 years and it's going to take them 30 seconds to put you to death, that's only 30 seconds out of 60 years. That's a small piece of time.
Yeah, it's nothing.
You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. If somebody's going to shoot you, just
let them do it.
Tell them to say, pray the Lord forgive you, bud.
Yeah.
That's what Stephen did, and he didn't feel nothing. So then he just went to sleep.
Yep.
That made the Lord protect him from
the
pain.
Yeah.
The Lord opened the windows of heaven, pulled the curtains back, and he seen the Lord standing there, and he said, this is good. So forgive him. You know, he was having a conversation with him.
Mm.
He said, you forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing.
Yep.
The same thing that Jesus said on the cross. Yep. Jesus taught his Father, and he said, hey, I've got a good conversation going here. They just rock him to sleep.
Yep.
With the big rocks.
Okay.
Right?
And let me see. Okay, so that was down to verse 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it's Loie's turn, right?
Okay.
Loie, 11 through 15, please.
All right. I say then, have I stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But though they fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if they fall in riches for the world, and they are fail to riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I have provoked to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them, for if they being cast away, is the reconsidering of the world, what will thy acceptance be but life from the dead?
Okay, so let's go back to verse 11. It says, so I ask, have they stumbled so as to fall to their utter spiritual ruin and irretrievably, by no means, but through their false steps and transgressions, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to arouse Israel to see and to feel what they forfeited, and so to make them jealous. Okay, so let's read it again, because I sort of stumbled through it here. Verse 11, it says, he's talking about the Jews, and he says, so I ask, have they stumbled so as to fall to their utter spiritual ruin, and are they irretrievable? By no means, But through their false steps and transgressions, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to arouse Israel to see and to feel what they forfeited, and so to make them jealous. Right. So, God is using the Gentiles to show Israel what the Jews have lost, and to stir up in them a desire to have that kind of walk with Christ, and to get them to wake up.
Right.
So basically what God is showing them is, okay, Jews, this is what you've lost. You could have had this, and you can still have it if you receive Christ. But see all of these miracles and all of this stuff going on, and see how the people of your church are leaving, going to Christ, because you're not willing to do what I've told you to do. And the idea is to make them jealous to see what they have lost, and that God has given all of that to the Gentiles. And see, the Gentiles were people the Jews thought were just, you know, they were nobodies.
Dogs,
right? Yeah. And God has given it to, basically given all of his power and authority to the dogs rather than to the Jewish church.
But they went around saying, we're God's chosen people. We're the ones that have favor with God. And a lot of Gentiles did. Look at Cornelius. He had favor with God.
Yeah.
You know, he obeyed it and the laws of God. And he was a Roman officer.
That's right.
And his whole household was saved. They all got filled with the Holy Ghost when Peter preached to them.
That's right.
Because they obey God. The Jews said, we're God's chosen people, but we're not obeying him.
That's right.
Well, you know, you could be your dad's favorite and out of 20 kids and still go to hell, even though you're your dad's favorite.
That's right.
So you could have been what God chose, but you didn't work it out. So he said, it's okay, I'll go to Gentiles. And see, the Gentiles had a way to be saved even before Christ. They just had to join the Jews and get circumcised. And then that's done. You all come unto God through Jesus Christ now, and the law's done, and it's put away. Case is closed. You still keep the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't murder. You don't honor your parents and things like that. Because if you don't, you're still going to go to hell.
Yeah.
Even said the Old Testament or the New Testament or both. You're still going to go to hell. You can't murder. I should not kill.
Yeah.
That don't mean that you can't fight in battle and destroy the enemy.
Yeah.
But it's voluntary. And that's what the Jews was doing. Anybody in their way, they killed. They stoned Stephen. Oh, you're in our way.
Yeah.
You believe in Christ. What would it hurt them for them believing Christ? Nothing. It hurt the institution that they started in place of what they were supposed to do.
That's right. You know, I sort of look at it like the rich, you know, you hear about this every once in a while. You have this really rich person, and they finally get to the point where they're going to die, and they write the wills and everything, right? And all of the family members show up at the reading of the will to find out that this rich person is giving everything to the cat.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know, you hear about this every once in a while,
time,
you know?
Yeah.
Right?
That rich person was pretty smart. He knew what was going on around him.
That's right. So,
and that's what Jesus did. He knew what was going around, so he gave it all to the Gentiles.
All of these people,
whosoever will.
All of these people thought that at the end they were going to be blessed, right? And the problem was they weren't the blessing.
Yeah. Rome didn't come down and surround Jerusalem to bless them.
You know, they weren't a blessing, so they didn't get blessed. You know, if you don't sow, you don't reap.
That's right.
Exactly right.
So it was more beneficial to the rich person to give it to the cat than it was to give it to them. Man, what does that say about their opinion of you?
Well, I think Phoebe's sister is going to give everything to the SPCA when she goes. I think you talked to her about that one time, right?
Uh-huh.
And she has nobody. And I've heard some of the sisters say, well, I wonder if she's going to leave us. And I heard her sister say one time, I'm going to divide up half to the church and half to my sisters. And Phoebe talked to her and said, you love the SPCA? I never thought about that. So the last third, she could give it to the SPCA.
Yeah.
Well, the sisters didn't do nothing to get it.
That's
they
right.
didn't help her. They used her.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of them was nice to her. But the what inheritance you should you get if you is nothing to the person?
Yeah.
If you is a user on the person.
That's right.
There's no inheritance for you, and there's no spiritual inheritance for you if you're a user. You know, there's two kinds of people, givers and takers.
Yeah.
It's the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, and Christ taught it, and God taught it all through the Old Testament.
Yeah, I know a lady, and she wasn't rich, but she, even in her real lack of money and everything that she had, she helped put two people through college, right? Out of her own pocket. She had nothing, and she did that, right? Mm-hmm. And when she finally died, the house that she had, she had no money. The house that she had, she gave to the Little Sisters of the Poor, a Catholic charity, right?
That's where you went, huh?
I
don't
know, Little Sisters of the Poor.
What that the name of your school?
No, Little Flower.
Little Flower.
Oh, okay. Anyhow, so
older sisters want the big flower.
So all the brothers and the sisters and everybody show up for the funeral, for the reading of the will and everything. There was nothing, and what there was given to poor people, right? And those who basically abused her, right, and treated her shabbily, and weren't there when she needed help, and she needed help every
once in a while. They were the first ones there for the hearing.
Yeah, and they ended up. They got cold shoulder.
But you know something? Her treasure was laid up in heaven.
Yep.
Yeah. She had a good heart.
Yep, she did. Yep. And she did. She was a real nice person.
And it's the thing that gets me. It's her business.
That's it.
It's her business. It's not those people that come to see what they can get, the glory grabbers. It's just like your wife's aunt down there, your mom's sister, her mom's sister. They was robbing her, so you had to put a stop to it, and now then they probably wouldn't spit your mouth, your teeth was on fire.
Yeah, probably not.
But that's on them. That's not on you. Here, if your sister, if your wife now needs somebody to help take care of your mom, boom, your brother's right there, or whatever. You know.
He's really
the ones that's helping her is the ones that should get the reward. The ones that serve in Christ is the ones going to get the reward.
Yeah.
Well, makes sense there to verse 11, where the Jews failed to open the door to the Gentiles.
Yes.
And I was just thinking, if I fail, God will get somebody else to do it.
Oh, that's right.
The blessing will pass by me.
That's right. To whoever actually does do it.
Well,
that's right. And this says God has a schedule and a plan.
Mm-hmm. Right?
If you don't keep up with the schedule, you're not in the plan.
Well, you know the scripture said, what Satan meant for harm, God will turn to good.
That's
And listen at this verse 11 and this. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Now he's asking the question. He said, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Rather, through their fall, which Satan was just tickled to death about, then salvation came unto the Gentiles to turn around and provoke the Jews to see where they're wrong.
Yep.
Now, some of the Jews accepted that, and some of the Jews didn't accept that. But it shows you that whatever Satan meant, said, oh, I got him now. And God said, no, I'm not done with you yet. I just put a comma there. There's more to that sentence.
Yeah,
you know, I said this is going to provoke them to show them to jealousy, to show them where they're wrong, and a lot of the Jews synagogues and Asia Minor and Turkey and Greece, all like that, there was Jews and Gentiles worshiping God together, and the priests that Paul would get them saved, they would start preaching Jesus Christ. So you see that Rome had come all the way down to Jerusalem and back all the bad Jews that wouldn't accept Christ, all the way back down to Jerusalem, and slaughtered them there in Jerusalem. The other people said, that's not our capital. I live in Turkey. I live in Asia Minor. You know, I'm a Christian here. That don't mean nothing to me. Christ prophesied that was going to come down, and it did. So they said, that just proves that much more of Christ. They laughed at him when he said it's coming down. And now it's come down. They're all dead. The Christians, here we are, here. you know, we're in Turkey, all through Asia Minor, you know. So we're all in all these other places. The Romans don't care because we're peaceful people here.
Yep.
So I just, it, that impressed me. I seen that so clear when it never, but rather through their fall, salvation came unto the Gentiles.
Yep.
Satan loved their fall, but it brought salvation to the Gentiles, which carried all over the whole world, because they was just a nation that's going to keep it to themselves.
Yep. Okay, and that was verse 12 and verse 13, and it says, "But now I speak to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, and I lay great stress on my ministry and magnify my office." So he says he's laying great stress on his ministry. So he's really pushing his ministry to really do as much as it can, you know, because he understands that, that the clock's ticking.
Well, you remember that song, Magnify the Lord with Me?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Paul's doing. He's magnifying the Lord.
That's right.
He said, this office of apostles, I respond, he said, there's healing in it.
That's right.
There's prosperity
all kinds of good
in
stuff.
It.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, there's a peace in it that passes all understanding. Because Christ, the word peace as a man for Christ is a personal pronoun meaning Christ. And the angels of God, when they announced it, said, peace on earth. And that's when Christ came. He said, now peace on earth. And he's telling the shepherds, he said, here's peace on earth. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, said, what that which was prophesied to you, he said, he's here. And that's why they all went to see. He didn't say, now this is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Almighty God, that Isaiah prophesied and all everybody else prophesied in the Old Testament, beginning with Moses. He didn't say that at all. The angel, they said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This Jesus is going to be goodwill toward men. And that was his whole job. And we're Christ-like. That should be our job, goodwill towards people.
Yeah.
That's what won the people to Christ.
That's
what healed on people, the confidence they had in him.
See, and basically what he was doing was, Paul and all the apostles, as an example that Christ gave, was the ministry was to the people. See, it wasn't... See, the Jews had a situation where the people were ministering to them. But see, in Christ, the ministry was to the people, not from the people. See, it came... The ministry came from Christ through the ministry to the people. See, and Christ was all about working with the people.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, in his great command, he said, go into all the world preaching the gospel.
That's right.
He said, and making disciples of them. Make
That's right.
them followers of me.
That's right.
And that followers of Christ, that word follow, it means imitate. That's the word for it, was imitate.
Yeah.
So you had them imitate me. Well, what did Jesus do?
Healed the
he
sick.
Healed them.
That's right. Fed,
and met their
fed
needs.
The poor.
Fed the multitudes.
That's
you know?
Right.
And that's what makes people see Christ in you. When you're Christ-like. Not because you go and wear your top coat and your hat and your pretty shoes to church and say, oh, I'm a Christian. And your overcoat. No. They're seeing veneer. They're seeing your clothes.
Yeah.
And we've seen lots of that. Mm-hmm. But under all them clothes... was phony, just like the hair underneath that was a oatmeal box, right?
Yeah.
Or a sawing cone thing. It was you don't see the real, you only see the veneer.
That's right.
But with Jesus you see the real.
That's why it's important for Christians to be in the trenches, to get out there and do stuff.
Absolutely.
You know. A Christian that's a Christian Sunday morning is not much of a Christian. You got to be out there every day. You got to be out there doing stuff.
An Easter Christian and a
Christmas Christian.
Yeah.
You know, that's not much of a Christian.
No.
You know, you need to kick it up a notch. I mean, I don't have a problem with them coming, you know, two times a year. But
it's good because they might hear something that
will really stir them
around.
Up. That will really stir them up. But if you're serious with God, you want God to be serious with you, you need to get serious with God.
Yeah.
You know, you got problems in your life, you got issues, well, you need to get serious with God. Because only God has the answer. And God will really only open up the answer to you until you get serious with Him.
Right.
You know? Because healing requires what?
Faith.
right?
Faith comes by hearing.
Hear by the word, right? So if you're really sick or maimed or whatever, what do you need to do? You need to get someplace where the word is,
amen,
right?
Amen.
So that you can hear about healing and stuff like that. Learn about how to get healed, right? So the issues, you know, it is the same thing about hunger and all the rest of these problems. If you're not in a place that's going to teach you how to get answers to that, you need to go someplace where they are. If you're in a church and you're not getting answers, you need to leave that church.
That's right.
Amen.
Because,
absolutely.
Because the ministry is about getting someplace where the answers are. That's what Christ has called the ministry to do. Get answers and get them to the people and show them how to do stuff. And if you're not someplace that's doing it, you need to leave.
Yeah, you're in the wrong place.
You're in the wrong place. Verse 15. For if their rejection and exclusion from the benefits of salvation were overruled for the reconciliation of a world to God, what will their acceptance and admission mean? It will be nothing short of life from the dead. Is your life dead? Right? If you really feel your life is dead, then you need to find Christ. Because what God's offering you here is, see, he said that he would take the Jewish church and make it alive again if they would receive him, receive Christ, and do what he told them to do. And he says, and it's like life from the dead. And that's true of every person. That's true of every person. If your life is dead, if it's going nowhere, if today is the same as yesterday, and the same as it was 40 years ago, then you need Christ in you so that you can get from where you are to where you need to be. And the only way you're going to do that is get the word, and get the word, you have to go to church.
You got to get attached to God, yeah.
You have to get attached to God. You got to get serious with God.
You got to be the. You got to. If you're the branch, you got to get food from the root.
That's it.
But you hear so many people that are so lax today. They don't want to hear God. No. They don't want to hear anything about God. They want to hear. They think the funnier things are more entertaining.
Yeah.
But they're missing the whole thing. They need God in their life.
That's right.
And they're dismissing God.
That's right.
I mean, you know.
But that's up to each individual.
Yeah.
Well, our responsibility is to give them the word, right? And their responsibility is to take the word and do something with it. And it's the same way as the people that teach us or have taught us, right? And we're all learning all the time.
Right.
And we have good preachers that we listen to on TV and radio and other places, right? But that's because, see, we're seeking and we'll find. But if you're not seeking, you're not going to find anything.
No.
See, and it's a decision. It's a decision each person needs to make. You need to make up and make a quality decision. It all goes back to making a quality decision. See, I can say I'm going to go to Mars next week, but if I don't do all the stuff that needs to be done to do that, I'm not going to get there.
No, right? just words.
It's just words. It's just words, right? I can say, oh, you know what? I always wanted to be a great baseball player. You know what? If you never go to the park, if you never take training, if you never learn how it all works, do the practice and all this and stuff, you've got zero chance of ever doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the same way.
Slim to none and slim's out of town.
That's right. And it's the same way with Christ. You know, until you get serious with Christ, you got nothing.
That's true.
Right? So, it's that time. We're going to close in prayer.
Whoa. That was fast. This is good.
That is good.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for opening up our hearts, for talking to us, for helping us to reach others for you, Father. Father, we thank you for opening up doors that allow us to teach people and open their hearts up and to really draw them to you. And Father, I want to take this opportunity for the people who are listening to this, Father, pray with me now. Father, open your hearts up. And Father, we thank you. And Father, we open our hearts up to you, and we want you to come into our lives. We want you to touch our hearts and to show us what you want us to do as individuals. Father, we ask you to forgive each one of us of our sins, Father, and to enter our lives and to lead us in the things that we need to do. And we thank you, Father, for pouring not only yourself and the Holy Spirit into us, but in every day and in every way, lead and guide us that we do the things that we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 That's good.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.